The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this January 20th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Hope you're doing well on this holiday Monday. That's right. If you are out and about running errands, enjoying the day off, congratulations. Most places are closed. The building is closed here today, but I feel it's important for us, especially on the sports side of things, to be on the air today. We got so much to talk about. National Championship Day here for college football, the final game of the year. Isn't that crazy? The college football season comes to an end tonight between Ohio State and Notre Dame. We'll talk a lot about that today, plus tons of college basketball to recap from the weekend. Also looking to what this week holds. Of course, Auburn men's basketball off in the midweek. They prepare for Tennessee coming to town on Saturday and got a big win over the weekend, so we'll talk a lot about that, plus the other games around the SEC, other games in college basketball, and the biggest storylines around the world of sports. You got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Happy to be here. Sunny and pretty for now. It's cold, but weather is starting to throw a wrench in a lot of things. Local schools, Auburn City Schools, Opelika City Schools, and Lee Scott Academy all closed for tomorrow, so keep that in mind. We'll give you updates in terms of our high school basketball coverage. Auburn High was supposed to be at Smith Station. Lee Scott was supposed to be in area play tomorrow as well at Beulah, I believe. And so we'll give you updates if we get those by today. No games tomorrow, but we just don't know when they're are going to be rescheduled. So we'll give you updates when we can throughout our shows and online and things like that. But not alone in the studio on this MLK Monday. We got Uncle T-Bone in the studio. How are you, my man? Happy Monday to you, sir.
Yeah, happy Monday to you, Jacob. You said it, a ton to talk about sports-wise here on Martin Luther King Jr. holiday and also on Inauguration Day.
Yeah,
what a great day it is for the country. And what a great Saturday it was for Auburn basketball, holding on to take care of business. Once again, just flat out owning Georgia in basketball, and I love it. A lot of play around the SEC. Interesting weekend in basketball for sure in conference. Got the NFL playoffs starting to finally dwindle down. Talk about a season that never ends also. And then the college football championship tonight. Not a lot of buzz going around about this game, it seems like, Jacob. And Christian Griffin here also in studio, the voice of the Lee Scott Warriors. Don't know where y'all want to begin, so just let it rip.
Absolutely. Yep, Christian's in here as well. Happy Monday. I know you were planning on having some games tomorrow night. And again, with the weather, just seems like everything's kind of up in the air right now. But yeah, happy Monday to you as well, sir.
Yeah, happy to be here. I know that it's not necessarily the home for me on Monday, but a little free-for-all type Monday this afternoon. A lot to talk about. Again, a whole lot of basketball that I know we'll break down. And, you know, despite any frustration that there might be with how the basketball team looked from time to time in Athens, you take a step back and look around and see how wild the weekend was, both inside and outside the conference. And when it's all said and done, you can go to bed and wake up knowing that there's another W in the column. Really happy about all of that. Excited to talk some college football. National championship season absolutely did. It flew by. And some pretty solid games in the NFL as well. Hopefully, I don't know. Well, are we excited for the opportunity for Auburn to possibly look like some of the NFL games did yesterday?
In what way?
Just with the snow.
Oh, you mean the town of Auburn. If it looks like it did in the NFL games, then Auburn's in big trouble. I mean, Auburn is in big, big trouble. The town of Auburn, the state of Alabama's in trouble. If it looks like anything we saw in, Philadelphia and Buffalo. I mean, no, I'm good. I'm good. No, thanks. No thanks. And so
we'll try and get a little updated weather report towards the end of the show before we go off air.
We are not meteorologists.
I was
going
to say, Jacob is the weatherman.
No, I'm not.
But
Jacob
is bouncing around to anywhere from like 30 inches of snow to none. You know,
who knows?
Take your guess. But it is going to be one thing, I assure you, and that is brutal cold. So keep an eye on your old your friends and family, especially the elderly ones. Bring the dogs in, bring the cats in, and cover up the plants because it's going to be all of about 15 to 16 degrees at some point tomorrow.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Well, Christian said kind of a free-for-all Monday. I know Jacob Hillman today. We'll pick back up with him from the Auburn Sports Network next week. But, gentlemen, let's dive right into college basketball this weekend. And we can start with Auburn, who went on the road to Athens and took on a Georgia team that has been ranked in the top 25. You know the stat by now, for the first time in 14 years, that is likely to come to an end. Believe the last time they were ranked in the top 25, it lasted one whole week, is what Jordan Hill from Dogs247 told us on Wednesday, and that will probably be the same outcome this week because, the new AP poll's out, right? New AP poll should be out. Christian, what's the update on Georgia? Are they still? No way they're still a top 25. I haven't had a chance to look into it. I've been locked in the studio editing today, and so there's no way Georgia's still a top 25 team after two losses in the week, right? They lost to Tennessee and Auburn.
Two good teams to lose to, that's for sure.
It is.
They are knocked out. One of the few teams that were ranked and that are no longer ranked. Ole Miss made a really big jump, moving from 21 to 16. Wisconsin moved up six spots from 24 to 18. Missouri sits there at 22nd overall. Mississippi State goes from 15 to 14. And for the very first time in program history, Auburn University is unanimously the number one team in the country.
That's awesome. Nine teams, am I counting that right, in the SEC in the top 25? Kind of looking at how things are beginning to play out a little bit. You're seeing a couple of teams really pull away, I think, from the pack as more lead: Auburn, Alabama, Florida. I'm not willing to put Tennessee in there yet. I know they've got a great record, but I think they're just below that next level along with Texas A&M. Mississippi State's in there, Missouri and Ole Miss. Those are in Kentucky, and then you have the rest of the league. So you're looking at those nine teams. I said it last week, and I'm going to continue to say there's no way as many teams as that Jerry Palm – and you know how I like him, and that Lenardi fella had projected like 14 out of 16 teams in the league making the tournament. Give me a break or something ridiculous. You're starting to see the real elite and the really good teams in the leagues pull away, and then you're starting to see the Arkansas's of the world in the league as well kind of plummet to the bottom, which includes LSU and South Carolina, Texas and Oklahoma, in my opinion, as well.
Some teams that stick out to me in the bottom half of that top 25. How about West Virginia pulling off the upset over Iowa State? Did somebody say that could happen? Did somebody say Iowa State was on upset watch? I can't remember who that was. It was me.
I wasn't here Friday.
Oh, that's right. Thanks for listening. I predicted it. I did.
Just said it was a game to look out for.
Iowa State's on upset watch.
Hey, that team at 22 is the one that Bruce Pearl said immediately after we played them was going to give teams. I heard it on Wings 94.3 before the after the game show with Jack and I, Pearl say right off the court that team was going to give people some trouble.
Missouri,
keep an eye on that Missouri team. They don't have that go-to super talent that, you know, you would look for in an elite team, but they are long and lean and mean, and they will pound on you, and that team is finally in the top 25, probably going to stay there for a while.
I think so.
I think it's crazy to look at, too. When you're looking at the AP top 25, by the end of the season, where it sets up right now, Auburn will play, not including themselves, 7 of the 8 teams from 1 through 9. They've already played Duke, who sits at 2. They've already played Iowa State, who sits at 3. They'll play Alabama, Florida, Tennessee. They already beat Houston, and they'll play Kentucky. Mm. That's absolutely
wild. Could have played
wild.
Michigan State out in the
very easily could
number
have.
8.
Yeah.
Look, they're sneakily in there.
That's
the
a good
10.
Michigan State
it's
team.
It's a good team that we missed in Hawaii. So And then right outside number 10, you have number 11, Purdue, at 15-4. And then there's 13 at Texas A&M, 14 at Mississippi State. So in the top 15, there's only three teams Auburn has not played.
I mean, it's just – it's insane. It's crazy to look at. And that's going to be changing, right? The top 25, of course, changes every single week with wins and losses and things like that. But as Christian mentioned, Auburn is yet again the number one team in college basketball. This time, though, for the first time in program history, the unanimous number one team. There is no doubt about it. Not in anybody's mind right now that Auburn is the number one team in the land, and it's because of what they did on Saturday, going to Georgia, beating a good Dogs team without Jahni Broome in a game that Jack and I talked about it as I filled in for Uncle T-Bone on after
yeah,
the game.
That. Sorry, I had to work.
Yeah, you're good. We had a lot of fun and talked a lot about how the theme of that show on Saturday was
Pat Adams.
No, he's a theme in his own. We'll get to that. The theme was Auburn didn't do this well, but they still won the game. This went against Auburn, but they still won the game. Auburn did this poorly, but they still won the game. And the Tigers go on the road yet again and get another SEC win. This time it was in Athens. The Tigers prevail, escape 70-68.
And again, it goes back to what I said in the very open, to where kind of the theme of your show, what Auburn didn't really do well but still found a way to win. You want to have your complaints, and you can have them where you choose, but you take a step back. Look at the big picture in college basketball. These are some of the final scores from that Saturday alone. UCF took Houston to the wire. It took a miracle for Houston, number 7, to walk out. They won 69-68. We know that Alabama beat Kentucky at home. Creighton beat 19th-ranked UConn on the road. Xavier beat 10th-ranked Marquette on the road. 11th-ranked Purdue beat 15th-ranked Oregon on the road. Vanderbilt beat Tennessee. Iowa State, the third-ranked team in the country, traveled to West Virginia. West Virginia won that game. And you just continue to look down everything. I think it was Santa Clara that put up 103 on Gonzaga and defeated.
How embarrassing.
Defeated Gonzaga 103-99.
They have an NBA player on that roster. They got LeBron James play out of Santa Clara. Bronny James, he come back to college.
I think it's the youngest.
Oh, got Bryce.
There we go. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But again, you look at that's the Saturday slate in itself. The amount of teams that went on the road and found ways to either win, or favorited teams that found a way to lose. And so despite any complaints that you may have with how Auburn looked in Athens, again, you're able to wake up the next morning with a win in the column and now the unanimous number one by your
name. No complaints other than, for me, the officiating late in the game. And it's just not happening with Auburn, that Mississippi State-Ole Miss game. I watched it as well. The last minute of the game took like 2 hours. Guys, what are we doing with officiating in college basketball, specifically in the SEC? They go to the monitor entirely too much. They slow the entire game down. I felt like over in Athens that Auburn was about to get Ricky Dude in that whole thing, and almost did, had Aza Newell not missed a pretty easy shot, which he pushed off.
I was going to say that in itself was the offensive foul.
Yeah, the rebound foul on Denver Jones to me was the one that was just, I mean, I was coming back from a work event, listening on the radio, did not get to see that play, still haven't seen it, but I'm just thinking to myself, how in the world is that call made in that situation? And to allow Georgia not one, not two, but three opportunities in less than a couple of seconds in a ball game, man, I've got to start questioning what was happening there with Pat Adams and that crew. And this isn't the first time that Auburn people have had a complaint. Listen, I don't like to rail on referees and umps in any sport. That is a super difficult job. But enough is enough. This guy is a problem. Pat Problem Adams. He's got something out for Auburn, and I'm calling it out.
It's not even in college basketball. We'll get to the NFL playoffs in just a little bit. How about the Chiefs? Get bailed out again.
That is getting ridiculous.
Bailed out again.
I mean, there is so much evidence for Patrick Mahomes getting preferential treatment from the NFL referees. Barely gets touched, is running and gets tackled, and they call a foul. I mean, you see Josh Allen taking shots. You see Jalen Hurts taking shots.
Yeah.
I mean, remember the shots that Cam Newton used to take head?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, in that Super Bowl alone. And then the subsequent opening game the next year where he just got speared in the helmet on a late hit, wasn't even called. You even breathe on Patrick Mahomes, and they call a penalty. It's disgusting.
I have a stat later about that officiating crew that was there in Kansas City. I want to hold it for now because
Let me make a sad.
No, go ahead.
I'm going to make a quick point about Georgia. I don't feel like Auburn escaped. That's a good Georgia team. A couple of good wins over top 20 teams, including St. John and Kentucky. They're a team that's definitely going to be a bubble team at the very least this season. The teams they've lost to, guys. Number 16, Ole Miss, who's turning out to be a pretty good, solid team. Number 6, Tennessee. Number 1, Auburn. And then their other loss was number 10, Marquette. Georgia basketball under Mike White's turned it around.
That's what we talked about it. This was the team that made it to the Final Four in the NIT last year, and a bunch of those guys stayed. A bunch of those guys bought in and still loved everything that Mike White was building. We've talked about how great of a coach he is and how he feels like he has Auburn's number when he has the right guys when he was down in Gainesville. So it's one of those games to where we were, as much as I'm sure the majority of the fan base was, pretty nervous about this game.
I don't want to say he's got Auburn's number by any means, but he's a heck of a good coach, and they're lucky to have him. I mean, I do remember in 19 Auburn beating him to kick off the SEC tournament on that Saturday on a move to a Final Four. He's just a really good coach.
He's a great coach, and they're going to have to do everything they can to keep him around.
Oh, no question.
I think. I mean, if he continues to win there, some big-name program is going to come.
Basketball school.
A legitimate blue blood, old blood, new blood, whatever. Some program's going to come after Mike White and throw a bag at him.
Let me throw this question to you right here on a manic Monday.
Maniac
Monday.
Because
I'm feeling it with this weather. If Bruce Pearl were to retire from Auburn, would you take Mike White as your next coach at Auburn and be happy?
What's the timeline on Bruce Pearl? How long from right now?
I mean, if he finished out this season national champion, said, I'm done, I'm good, it's been great, and they said, well, we're going to have a national coaching search, and the last three candidates included Mike White, I wouldn't be disappointed.
No.
I'd be fine with that. Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Mike White, Buzz Williams, I'm not going to take Todd Golden now, but somebody else, I wouldn't be disappointed in Mike White if they said that he was going to be Auburn's next basketball coach.
Not at all.
He's a good coach. He's a really good coach. I like the guy, man.
I think there's a big program in the Big Ten that may be looking at him if they end up firing their head coach. And I think there's multiple programs that will give him a look. I don't remember how much he's making at Georgia. I'm sure it's not comparable to some of the higher coaches in the SEC or some of the higher programs in college basketball, but Georgia is going to be a threat. I think that's a tournament team we watched on Saturday against Auburn there in Athens, and the fact that Auburn goes and gets a win without Jani Broome is a big, big deal. We'll talk more about that plus other results from around the country when we come back. We're off and running here on a Monday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Coach Bruce Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. The Monday edition of On the Line continues, packed house on this January 20th, MLK Day. Mentioned it was the presidential inauguration today. There's a lot happening in the area around the country, and we appreciate you spending hopefully your off day with us. And we're talking college basketball, as there were just so many big games this weekend around the country, and including Auburn going on the road, beating Georgia in Athens, which we said it was going to be a tough place to play. And I think Auburn expected it to be a tough place to play, but To continue that conversation about Mike White and what Georgia has become, I mean, the fans showed up. They were there. They were loud and proud on Saturday afternoon watching the number one team in college basketball.
Plenty of blue canes going around
that
the
was
student
awesome.
Section.
That was so cool.
Took us a while to figure out, and then it clicked, and it was like, oh, yeah, that's actually somewhat kind of cool.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And
heard a good many Auburn fans over there late in the game making some noise.
Late in the game. I think they were.
It was a nervous energy.
It was. I think so. And rightfully so, right? Because I said on Friday, this game, the result was not what I thought it was going to be. Because my two predictions,
well,
I said.
I did hear that.
He said
it was a blowout basically one way or the other. Or cover line would not be sweated.
Yeah, I said Auburn blows them out or Georgia wins outright. And Auburn goes and squeaks out a win by two, which is, I think, is impressive. And I think that should be celebrated. And there were, I think immediately, there were a lot of Auburn fans who were like, oh my goodness, we only won by two. We had every chance to put it away. You're up double digits. You let them come back. You have to fight, scratch, and claw your way to a W in Athens. But I think as maybe, what, the next 24 hours kind of went along and the rest of the weekend played out across the country, I think everybody kind of took a little step back and said, you know what? We're undefeated in conference play, got another win on the road, and now we have the midweek off before Tennessee. I think everything's okay.
That's exactly what I was talking about, to where you take this, you take the step back, you look at the bigger picture just on the Saturday slate alone, at the next time slate when you watched Vanderbilt beat Tennessee at home. And again, you see how tough it is night in and night out to win in the conference, to where I don't think you should realistically expect to blow out too many teams on the road. Yes, you had a couple of chances to put it away early in the first half, at least to make it where it felt like you felt a little bit more comfortable, but instead Georgia had a couple big runs, just as if every home team will have, but the ability that Auburn was able to answer it and kind of respond in the second half in a way that was much more physical in the second half and allowed Auburn to get a little bit of a lead. Georgia answered again, but then the ability under that 8-minute mark to do what they've continued to do really, really well. They didn't panic. They didn't do anything that was uncharacteristic. You knocked down shots at the stripe, and you went to the guys that needed to get it. Tahad Pettiford, the player of the game. Talk about what he's done against ranked teams throughout this year. Absolutely insane.
Tahad Pettiford is quickly becoming a fan favorite, is becoming maybe the best freshman guard in college basketball, and I think one of the best freshmen, period, in college basketball. It's plain and simple, guys. You don't have Tahad Pettiford. You have 3, 4, 5 losses on your resume right now. Tahad Pettiford has single-handedly carried you through ball games, including this one on Saturday where he comes off the bench, has a career day, 24 points, 7 of 13 from the floor, 5 of 7 from deep, and had 2 assists, 2 turnovers. That's fine, especially given how the rest of the team played. You don't have Tahad Pettiford, man. Georgia beats you running away. Georgia blows you out in this game if the freshman doesn't step up and have his best game of his young career, Uncle Tebow.
3 rebounds, 2 assists, 24 points only in 22 minutes.
Strong.
Chaney Johnson leads the team in minutes at 35. Miles Kelly and Chad Baker Mazar right there around the 32-minute mark. You got to get Pettiford more minutes. This is going to be a controversial statement, but moving forward, I think he's the most important player on Auburn's roster. And I know that is a bold statement to make, but he is so dynamic. He is so talented. I don't think that Auburn can make a championship run without him. And what he's doing right now will pay such dividends in March, where you must have strong guard play. At some point, they're going to unleash him as a starter out of the blue when they feel like it's the right moment, probably the right matchup. And they're, if they put Denver Jones and Miles Kelly with him, along with Baker Mazar, and I don't care who the fifth is, they're going to destroy someone, and it's going to be ugly, and they're going to be up on them really quickly in a game and just knock them out. This guy is a freshman All-American. He's freshman All-SEC Player of the Year already.
He could be.
And I'm telling you, don't blink your eyes, Auburn fans, because he won't be here very long. This guy is just unbelievable and continues to just make massive clutch free throws at the end of ball games to put Auburn over the top.
Averages 16 points a game, shoots over 50% from the field, almost 50% from three, and a 90-plus percent free throw shooter against ranked opponents this year.
I mean, he's doing this, and he's playing half the game.
And Auburn has 3 guys on this team that average 90-plus percent from the free throw line. Yeah. Now, those guys struggled on Saturday down the stretch, which is why this game got so dicey. But you still won the game with Chaney Johnson going for 2 points. Dylan Cardwell going for 2 points.
Can we give credit to Dylan where it's due, though, for
how
he played, especially on the defensive end of the floor?
I think one of his better games.
Turtle Hudson's in there as well, gave Auburn great minutes.
Yeah.
I thought they
were critical minutes as well, from what I could hear on the radio.
I think he almost gave the Chaney Johnson of 2 years ago, to where it was you did a couple things great, you had a couple dumb mistakes, but down the stretch it seemed like there were many more positives than negatives, and at worst 8 minutes in a really, really big manner.
What I'm seeing from Auburn without Jahni Broome is a team, like you said, that just doesn't panic. A lot of people would lose a Jahni Broome, and they'd be in chicken with their head cut off running around mode. They've just adjusted. And what they're doing and what they're going through, do not rush Broome back, especially if you keep winning. I mean, all you're playing for now, in my opinion, is NCAA bracket rankings. And when Broome does come back 100%, Auburn will have so many different options and combinations. They're going to be so tough to handle come tournament time. They can match up in any style of play and keep fine-tuning that while you don't have Broome on the court.
I want to look around the SEC and college basketball. Where do the SEC standings stand as we are 5 games into conference play? We'll talk about that more coming up next right here on ESPN 106.7.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Uncle T-Bone in here, Christian Griffin as well. And the phone lines are now open. You can give us a call and give us your thoughts on anything that happened over the weekend. Auburn basketball, college basketball, NFL playoffs, your predictions for the national championship game here tonight. All of that and more we will get to on the show today, but you can give us a call if you'd like, 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. Or you can always shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And we'll start there because got a text that said, Jeff Goodman said on the Field of 68 podcast on Saturday night that Duke and Alabama had by far the best rosters in college basketball, without a doubt, guys. That's what Jeff Goodman says on the Field of 68. This text is being sent as a joke, of course, because there's no way that you look at Auburn and what Auburn has done through the first 5 games of conference play, through the first 18 games of the season. You cannot look at Auburn and say there's a better roster in college basketball when they're healthy. I don't see it, especially with how Alabama, which looked good this weekend against Kentucky, we'll get to that in a second, and Duke is playing in the worst conference in college basketball. There's no way you can look and say Auburn's roster, that there's a better one out there.
Just looking at the record of what all they have, it speaks for itself, much less the fact that you lose the National Player of the Year front runner right now, and you have a 22-point win over the 15th ranked team in the country, and then a road win in a very, very tough environment. You tell me, either between those two schools, or you tell me another team in the country that loses the leader in points, rebounds, and assists on your team, and that team comes out 2-0 in conference play.
Take Mark Sears off of Alabama and take Cooper Flagg off of Duke and tell me what those two teams have done in conference play. They're already losing, and yet they still have their best players. Duke's not going to lose a game in the ACC because it's atrocious, but you can't look and say that Auburn, there's a better team in college basketball than Auburn. I refuse to believe it, guys. I really do. Even with how the teams played this weekend, I refuse to believe it. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, isn't Goodman the one that is anti-Auburn anyway?
Oh, always.
And has been, yes, for quite some time. He didn't even have Auburn ranked in the preseason top 25,
something,
is that correct?
Something crazy like that.
Yeah, looking over at some of his old ex posts, he's got some weird stuff. Did not even have Auburn in his preseason. No, yeah, he did. He had Auburn ranked 11th. Okay. There's some type of beef he has with Auburn. It's probably Auburn Twitter getting after him, which
I think it was something where Auburn was supposed to join, you know, the jump to make the number one and still had him at 9 or 10 or something crazy like that. So between him and Pat Adams, there's got to be something between the two.
There's a lot of hate going on today. A lot of hate. Hey, let's get to the phone lines. 334-321-1390. Spectre, happy Monday. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Happy to be alive today.
Amen.
Inauguration day, buddy. Listen, T-Bone.
Yes, sir.
Who's those? Who's the best point guard we got?
Todd Pettiford.
There you go, buddy. I agree with you 100%. You know, I watched that game, and I could have swore those refs tried their damn best to get Georgia to win that game.
Yeah, I mean, Specter, you're probably, not to age you, but you might recall, I believe it was the 1972 Olympics, when the referees kept putting time back on the clock to give the Russians a shot at beating the Americans. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, man, this looks awfully familiar with like a second left. How do you get three opportunities to win a basketball game with less than 2 seconds left? Three. Three opportunities, sir. And
yeah.
It all started with that ridiculous Denver Jones foul call as one of the most insane things I have – I didn't get to see it that I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, that's like I said, the referees gave them a mulligan every time they turned around.
Oh, there it
yes,
is.
So they did.
yeah, you know, I'm going to say this, and we started this last year. This team here is absolutely refusing to lose. And I'm 100% behind them. And like you said, they need to give this guard
Pettiford. Yep.
Pettiford.
Mm-hmm.
Give him more playing time, absolutely, because, you know, I mean, how many players we got are seniors? How many starters?
You have Dylan, Janai, you've got Chad, and Denver.
What about Baker?
Yeah, Chad Baker. Yeah.
Okay.
Specter,
okay.
Let me throw a question at you. Let's just play a little game of what if.
Here we go.
As an astute follower of all things Auburn athletics, especially basketball, founder of the saying, refuse to lose and win for both teams, would you, if you had to have a choice of one player not being on the court the rest of the season, which one could Auburn have more of a chance at winning a championship without? Tahad Pettiford or Janai Broome?
Oh, boy.
Oh, Lord. Well, that's hard to say. I tell you what, if Broome does not play the Tennessee game, I'll give you that answer Monday morning or Monday afternoon.
So the fact that you can't answer that question is the answer that I need right now. It's a non-answer answer. Tahad Pettiford needs to be on the court more.
Right. Broome, gosh dog. I mean, we were lucky, you know, especially in the Georgia game because we were playing against eight people, really, three refs and five players. But if Broome – it doesn't play against Tennessee, and we manhandle Tennessee, or even squeak by with a one-point win, that tells me a lot.
I would agree with that. Specter, appreciate the call, my man. Great to hear from you on this Monday afternoon. 334-321-1390. Auburn wins 70-68, and we're talking about the officials in Athens. And going into the game, it was Christian who brought up the free throw differential for Georgia at home in their first two home games in SEC play, where they had shot like 50-something more free throws than their two opponents. Guys, both teams shot 20 on Saturday. Like, that was not the issue, and I don't think that's what fans were upset about. It was the late-game whistles, the indecisive whistles down the stretch that, as T-Bone mentioned, Georgia had several wide open shots at this thing. The three from the corner, the inbound with point however many seconds were left on the clock, where that shot was off the front of the rim. I mean, all it needed was a little extra spin, and we're going to overtime, and I don't like Auburn's chances in a five-minute overtime in that situation at all. At all.
Not at all, especially with Dylan Cardwell, who was cramping, and that
couldn't
was the
play.
One play that he played in the final 4 or 5 minutes just to be the big body at the rim. And again, with the way that you could almost feel the game beginning to turn, it felt very, very scary going into it. Again, three chances, even going back to before then, the call did get overturned, but when Georgia had a fast break, I think it was Blue Kane that dribbled it off of his knee, and they said that Denver Jones poked it out, and Denver Jones was three full strides away from him. It did end up getting changed, but just one of those calls, and then all of a sudden it showed the replay, and Pat Adams was right there, standing right next to Blue Kane, and said that it was out on Auburn. Just things like that, that's the Angel Hernandez of college basketball.
My favorite is when there was one in this game where there was a play on the baseline that happened in front of the official. I can't remember if it was Pat Adams or not, but the official standing right there on it, the ball goes out of bounds, and the official goes and just throws his hands up like, I don't know, I didn't see it. And he looks around to the official who's 30 feet on the other side of the floor as if he could see the call from behind the plate.
Georgia basketball.
Yeah, it's those types of plays, guys, that are getting officials just reamed on social media. And we're going to talk the NFL playoffs in a second because it's the same situation. Officiating is horrific. It's terrible. But Auburn still won this game, 70-68. And you look around what happened in the SEC this weekend, and Auburn should be thanking their lucky stars for getting a win in this game, and they earned it. I'm not saying they got lucky. They did earn this win. But guys, look around the SEC.
Right.
There were big results on Saturday around this conference, and I would argue that none bigger than Alabama going on the road and beating Kentucky, who I still think is one of the best teams in college basketball. Bama bounces back after getting embarrassed on their home floor in the midweek by Ole Miss. They turn around and drop 102 on Kentucky inside Rupp Arena.
Both of those teams can score points in bunches, and this has been a recurring theme for Alabama, though, for years. They can light you up, but the defense just isn't there to championship level. And I'm going to say the same thing about Kentucky, which goes off for 100 points against Alabama almost, or goes off over 100 against Florida to open up league play. Their defense is lacking. Both of those teams are going to go up against some teams in this league, not just including Auburn, like Missouri, and like Alabama found out against Ole Miss, they can play a little defense, and they're going to struggle. But it was a good win and a shootout. Alabama always gets up for playing against Kentucky. They're going to have their hands full Tuesday night, though, when they host Vanderbilt.
They go to Vanderbilt.
Uh-oh.
Or no, excuse me. Kentucky goes to Vanderbilt. Who does Alabama play?
I thought Vandy,
in the midweek.
I've got Vandy going to Alabama and on Tuesday.
You're
night.
Right.
And
you're right.
Kentucky's got the week off.
Yes,
they'll,
they do.
Saturday night, yep. They'll travel to Vanderbilt. Speaking real quick before we get in the rest of the league, how big is this week off, though, for Auburn? I think it's huge.
Big time.
You know, whether they're even looking to get Jani Broome back or not, this team needs a little rest, and it's coming at the perfect time. Tennessee, on the other hand, will have its hands full tomorrow night hosting Mississippi State.
Coming off a loss at Vanderbilt, where, funny enough, Vanderbilt men's and women's teams both beat Tennessee at home this weekend. Men did it on Saturday by one. Okay, and the women did it yesterday there in Nashville. Texas A&M gets a good win over LSU at home. Ole Miss and Mississippi State played in a classic game Saturday night in overtime. The Dogs come out 84-81. Oklahoma finally gets their first win in the SEC. They run out South Carolina 82-62. And Missouri makes Arkansas look just like Arkansas is. Bad, 83-65. Coach Cal and the Hogs are 0-5.
That's the follow-up question I had. We've talked about Ole Miss, who sits at second in the conference right now at 4-1, and we've talked about Arkansas, who's 11-7, 0-5 in conference play. Is there another team that stands out when you look at the SEC rankings? My first is Missouri, sitting at 4-1, again tied for second. Is there a team for y'all that is whether a surprise in the good fashion or a surprise when you're looking and you see their name and you think it's too far down the list?
I mean, Ole Miss is a surprise to me. They're actually pretty physical. And last season I made fun of them a ton because they had such a good run with Chris Beard starting out and then just fell apart in conference play and didn't even show up in the NIT. But I think that team is a legit threat to get into a physical matchup in this league, game in and game out, and give you trouble. It's weird to see Texas A&M down where they are.
That was going to be my pick.
Standings.
Yeah.
Wade Taylor IV will be back, but they got to get together going pretty quick before they fall into that. They're right there with Georgia in league standings, not in AP ranking, but in league standings on teams that I think that are bubble teams or not.
Yeah, Texas A&M is my answer. I mean, their three conference wins are not that impressive to me. Home wins over Texas and LSU, a road win over Oklahoma, which, yes, it's a top 25 win at the time, but we've seen Oklahoma become very fraudulent since SEC play started. Their two losses at home to Alabama and on the road to Kentucky. They were competitive kind of in those games. They lost 94-88 to Bama. They lost 81-69 to Kentucky. They've got a chance to prove something coming up on Wednesday night when they go to Ole Miss in Oxford Wednesday night. If they can win that game, then I'll be okay. Their schedule's not that bad. Texas, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Missouri, Georgia, Arkansas. Like, they've got winnable games.
Is that in a row?
Texas A&M?
Yes.
Yes.
It's Texas, Oklahoma,
South Carolina, Missouri, Georgia, Arkansas.
So those next three games, you're playing three teams that have won two combined conference games.
Correct. So A&M has a chance to get right here.
Wow.
You have to. You have to get right if you're A&M because quickly they could become, as the 13th ranked team in the country, guys, they could become somebody that, if they're not careful, could be playing on the first or second day of the SEC tournament and have to make a big-time run to boost up their NCAA tournament standings. And so that's my pick. Other than Arkansas just being really, really bad, A&M is my answer so far in their slow start in SEC play. I mean, look, you have – how many teams is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams sit at 3-2 in conference play, including Kentucky, Mississippi State, Florida, and Tennessee, and Texas A&M. Think about that. That's insane.
I count 10 teams in this league for sure going to the NCAA tournament. So
as of right now?
Yeah, and you'll see some of those 3-2 teams rise up, some fall back. That leaves right there currently truly Texas A&M and Georgia is bubble teams. If Texas A&M does not get it together, they will at best be on the bubble, and you said it have to go into the SEC tournament like they did last year and get a couple of key wins.
We'll wrap up hour number one. When we come back, dip our toe into the NFL playoffs that happened this weekend. We wrap up hour number one of the Monday edition of On the Line after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Got a few more minutes. We'll probably have to carry this conversation into hour number two, but that's okay. NFL playoffs were pretty good this weekend. Yesterday, I thought, was really, really good.
Yeah.
You had great games across the NFL playoffs, and now we're down to the conference championship games. The NFC and the AFC championship games are set thanks to great results from Saturday and on Sunday. Chiefs take down the Texans 23-14. Commanders dominate the Lions in a shootout here, 45-31. Eagles survive against the Rams 28-22, and the Bills hold on to beat the Ravens 27-25. T-Bone, your favorite result, favorite game from the weekend?
Commanders. Jalen Daniels, unbelievable. Just unbelievable. How dumb is Brian Kelly? I mean, he's catching a stray here on a Monday. Let's catch a stray Monday, and Kelly, I've got a target for you. I mean, come on, man. That guy is ridiculously good and talented and just an intelligent football player. Without him, the Commanders are bunk. And, I mean, they're going to give the Eagles all they want this weekend when they get together in the NFC Championship game.
You could throw another stray and say that the team that he – talking about Brian Kelly, the team he used to coach for – he's playing in the national championship tonight.
Yeah, wow, bam. Bazinga.
The fact that he went to go to another program so that way he could have the resources and everything.
Yeah, ain't no way Notre Dame can play for a national championship.
After losing Northern Illinois.
Ain't no way.
I will take the Bills and Ravens as my game just because of how everything went down. Both of these games between the Bills and the Ravens and the Eagles-Rams ended up being a lot more exciting late in the fourth quarter than I think, maybe not necessarily for the Bills and the Ravens, but a lot more exciting than what the game was necessarily supposed to be. Again, I mean, a Mark Andrews two-point conversion drop in the corner of the end zone sends game to overtime. The Eagles and the Rams, where Matthew Stafford threw for like 170 yards in 4 minutes, drove him down to a touchdown and then drove him down to what would have been right in field goal range, but a sack from Jalen Carter puts him at 4th and 12, and you have to try and throw it to Puka Nacua, throw it too far. But that game ended up being a lot closer than I think many people expected. And Chiefs and Texans, of course, with the safety at the end of the game, Chiefs end up covering the 9.5-point spread. The Chiefs win it 23-14.
I mean, listen to this, okay? Everybody's complaining yet again about the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes getting the calls from the officials and having this protective bubble, having this bias from every single officiating crew that steps on the field for them, right? Listen to this stat. The crew that was on the game for the Chiefs and Texans, okay, the crew that was there, do you know how many times they have called games for them? Seven.
Right.
That exact crew has been on the call seven times for Kansas City Chiefs games. Do you want to know what the Chiefs' record and Patrick Mahomes, their record is when that crew steps on the field to officiate their game? You want to know what their record is?
Every time they step on the field.
7-0 is what their record is when that crew steps on the field.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Nothing to see here. Moving on along.
In the slide call where there was an unnecessary roughness on the Texans' defense after two defenders hit each other, didn't even hit Patrick Mahomes, after he dances around, does his little shimmying thing, and then at the last second decides to slide, and the defenders are the ones that get punished because they tried to make the tackle.
Let me tell you what's about to happen with him in his little slow-up where he's on plays where he's trying to get a penalty. Some hard pipe-hitting safety is about to come up and just say, I don't care.
He'll eat the 15 yards.
What fine I'm about to get. And they're going to knock him into Saturn. Because it is ridiculous just breathing on him when he does that, throws the flag. And I like Patrick Mahomes. This isn't anything personal, but he's getting preferential treatment. Fact.
I agree.
And somebody's going to say, all right, I'll show you preference. You want 15? We're not going to see you anymore the rest of this game, pal. And it's coming.
Conference championship games are set. More on that in hour two, plus the national championship game. Don't you dare turn that radio dial.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well. A holiday Monday, Martin Luther King Day, Inauguration Day for the President of the United States. All sorts of things happening today. National championship game going on tonight. There's a lot happening around the country. We appreciate you being with us on this Monday afternoon. Hour number one is in the books, which means hour number two is underway here on the Monday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. If you missed any of the first hour, you'll be able to go back and listen to it here a little bit later on today. After the show, we'll have the audio posted for you on our station website at ESPNAU.com and on your various podcasting platforms. We talked a lot of college basketball in that first hour about Auburn beating Georgia this weekend, other big games around the SEC. We had some NFL playoff conversation as well, so a lot of fun in that first hour. Be sure to check it out at ESPNAU.com. Here in hour number two, we're going to dive into the national championship game coming up tonight between Ohio State and Notre Dame. We'll talk about how we got here, talk about the game, our predictions, also some big storylines going on around college football right now. Nick Saban has opened his mouth again and made his thoughts known. Shocker there, I know. And Christian has some things he wants to get into about what we've talked about all year long with the playoff is starting to come true. So we'll have all that for you in this second hour. But before we do, want to remind you that hour number two each and every day here during On the Line on ESPN is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. They're East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them sponsoring the second hour of my show each and every day here on ESPN. No Jacob Hillman today from the Auburn Sports Network. We'll pick back up with him next week with the holiday today, so we will again have him on next week. So phone lines are open the entire second hour. Your thoughts on college football, the national championship, various topics we're going to get into in this second hour. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. You can also shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And gentlemen, it's time. The final game of the college football season is here. Ohio State and Notre Dame set to kick off tonight. 6:30 is the start for the Buckeyes and the Fighting Irish on ESPN. We're going to have that radio broadcast for you right here on ESPN 106.7, the national ESPN radio call. So be sure you tune in for that. And it's wild to think that the season, just like that, guys, has come to an end. We started all the way back at the end of August, and here we are nearing the end of January, and college football's come to an end.
Yeah, they're going to have to shorten the season. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Shorten the season?
Yeah, well, not by number of games played, but they're going to have to. You know, number one way to do it is get rid of conference championship games, which is not going to happen. They need to start the season probably a week earlier than Labor Day and get this thing wrapped up no later than about 7 to 8 days after the new year like they used to do. This is ridiculous.
There's been some people that
20 days in January? Come on, Christian Griffin.
Yeah, they talked about how as much as they don't want it to sound disrespectful, the Army-Navy week ends up turning into a waste of a weekend in college football.
That game.
Was that Paul Feinbaum that had that big quote the other day?
That needs to be a regular
week. Yeah, that's, I hate to do that, but times have changed. I mean, the Rose Bowl doesn't just get the Big Ten and Pac-10 anymore, and they had to roll with it to continue to be relevant in college football. And I'm with you, Christian. They're going to have to move that game up. That's ridiculous.
I could see that. I mean, even if it's like the first game of that Saturday, have that lead into the playoff.
Let that be the only noon game.
Yeah.
Or the 11 a.m. game here, and then you have the rest of the slate, the 3:30, the 6,
I really
and the
think
eight.
They're going to have to move the season up a week.
Man, it's so brutal in so many – I mean, think about this part of the country, man. You can't be – I mean, I know high schools do it, but it's miserable, man. Playing college football the third week of August is just brutally hot.
I mean, I think that would be the week that I always had Sisters of the Poor U in and kicked it all off, and then that second week after I'm warmed up, Labor Day weekends when I go with that big time matchup out of conference. So, I mean, they're going to have to do something about it. I mean, it's just kind of gotten lost in the shuffle. It's the national championship game. It's Ohio State and Notre Dame. I mean, it's huge. It's huge. Those are big time programs. Those are blue bloods. Some of the bluest of the blue. And hardly anyone's even talking about the game.
Is that just because of where we're at in the area of the country and there's not an SEC team in it for the second year in a row?
I mean, I really don't. You know, obviously if Auburn was playing in it, we'd be going crazy today. I mean, I'd be praying for that ice storm tomorrow so I could sleep in because I'd be up all night. But I'm telling you, no, I had totally forgotten this weekend that the national championship was today. I mean, there's just so much other things going on, and it doesn't help that they're catching a stray with this game with the inauguration. I mean, that's sucking the oxygen out of the room. There's going to be people watching this stuff all night for politics. But I mean, it's a big deal. I think that they've just created a system where it just drags on too long for college football.
Let me pose this. Do you think the excitement and the dramatics are down for this game tonight between Ohio State and Notre Dame because of everybody or a lot of people's assumption that Ohio State's just going to roll in this game? Because I do. I think Ohio State rolls Notre Dame. It'll be close for first half. Ohio State's going to pull away third quarter. They're going to dominate the fourth quarter. I think Ohio State wins by 2 touchdowns.
I think that plays a little bit of a factor. And then the fact of everything that NIL has become, and it's two of the teams that have the highest NIL evaluations for their roster every single year. I mean, this is quite literally what the Dodgers are doing in the MLB, which is making baseball not fun to watch anymore. It's doing it.
It's been getting there anyway.
It has, but the perfect point of now the Dodgers signing every single free agent.
Way to go, Braves.
Any sort of, don't even get me started with that one. But same type of thing right here. These are two teams that have two of the biggest NIL evaluations right now. Ole Miss, or Ohio State was listed around $30 million. Notre Dame was not far behind. So it makes it to where it doesn't necessarily feel just like a college football playoff national championship. Feels like there's so many other things that are involved. Takes away a lot of the excitement, the pure joy that college football brings that you kind of feel like you've had throughout the entire year.
And I feel like it's different in like the 2014s and 15s and 16s where it was Bama-Clemson or Ohio State-Bama or Ohio State-Clemson or what. It was the same four or five teams that made it every year, but they did it just off of pure talent. They just beat everybody because they recruited better than everybody else. And now, yeah,
they
had
NIL like, before everybody else.
No. No, you're not saying they paid players.
Well, good thing that coach didn't say anything.
Yeah, good thing. Yeah, good thing Saban didn't have any words to say or choice things to comment on about the current state of football and NIL. Right? No way.
I mean, they invented NIL before there was NIL.
Yeah.
You know, Ohio State, Notre Dame tonight, though, real quick, line on that, 287, 288, if you're into that kind of thing. The official Nevada rotation, Christian, Ohio State giving up 8.5 points over at scoresandodds.com right now, 45.5 total. I'm with you guys. I think this is going to be a really good game until, what's his name, Captain Jack Sawyer makes a big play like he did against Quinn Ewers and bust open that game for Ohio State. You know, anyone with a brain preseason had Ohio State in this game, though. I mean, their roster was just so much better than everybody else. They went out and bought it. They didn't do anything illicit according to the rules of the game.
There's rules?
Yeah, the rules are there are no rules. It is kind of nice to see Notre Dame in there. That's a good story with Marcus Freeman.
I love Marcus Freeman.
I do too, and I think he's a dog. I think Notre Dame's going to keep this thing pretty close up until the end.
I think that plays a factor just because of how they play their offensive style of football. I don't think – if you're Notre Dame, you try and do anything in a hurry. I think you try and eat as much clock as you can. You take 3 yards on first down. You take 3 yards on second down. You take 3 yards on third down on a fourth and one. You run and get the first down, and you let 3 minutes go by every single time to where you force Ohio State to almost slow their offense and slow their defense down to match your tempo, almost like a basketball game.
But I don't think Ohio State will. I think they'll go for the big shot every time. They're going to go and look for their boy Jeremiah Smith. Yeah. I don't think there's a dude on Notre Dame that could stay with him.
It's one of those games you might look at
Notre
it to where
– DBs are a little underrated.
I agree with
and
that.
And they're going to try and control the ball. I just don't think they quite have the horses that Ohio State does. Marcus Freeman's a heck of a defensive coach. He'll have something for him for a long time. But in the end, someone will break a play for the Buckeyes.
Could be one of those games to where you look at time of possession and 15 years ago you look at it like, oh, well, that team dominated the game
right.
then because they had 15 minutes more time of possession. Then all of a sudden you'll look at it and Ohio State wins by 14. And the old style of football plays absolutely no comparison to what tonight will look
How
like.
How in the world did Riley Leonard get out of this state?
We talked about that,
twice.
Didn't we, a couple weeks ago?
Yes, yeah.
Twice.
I mean, come on,
went
man.
To Duke and then transferred again and went to Notre Dame.
What year is he?
Is he a junior, senior?
Thanks, Harsin.
I can't remember.
Brian Harsin strikes again at Auburn. I mean, how do you not go down there and get that guy to come onto your roster?
I mean, T.J. Finley was the future.
A senior from Fairhope.
T.J. Finley was the future. And, yeah,
anybody know where Bo
out.
Nix is?
Yeah, did he do anything last weekend? Was he busy? I know he wasn't busy this past weekend, but the weekend before, did he do anything? Can't remember. So, yeah, Ohio State, Notre Dame tonight. Look, I'll give my, like I said, I'll give my prediction. I think Ohio State rolls. I do. I think they dominate. I think they've just got too much firepower. Do I think Ryan Day's a good coach? No, I don't. But I think he's going to get bailed out, and they're going to win a national championship. And he'll keep his job for now. And I just it still blows my mind that I truly believe they were going to fire him if they let Tennessee come into the shoe and beat them in round one of the playoffs, and we're less than 12 hours away from him probably winning a national championship.
If we're taking go ahead and doing predictions now, I will take Ohio State to win. I will take Notre Dame to cover simply from the standpoint that the line opened at 9.5, dropped down to 7.5, and is now back up to 9. So I will take Ohio State to win, but something like that tells me that they're liking Notre Dame a little bit more than that 9-point spread. So I think Riley Leonard will do enough to keep it close. If anything, at worst, it would be an Ohio State backdoor cover, but I'll take Notre Dame to win the cover line here at 9.5.
I like Notre Dame in the points as well. a little bit just because the fam and I had a little bracket contest, and I was the only one that took Notre Dame to win it all.
There you go.
I do just go as a for fly, it, I thought they were playing pretty good ball coming into the playoffs and were getting disrespected just solely on that loss to Northern Illinois. But they continue to get better and better as a team as that moved on, and Marcus Freeman is one heck of a solid coach. Those guys will not stop playing for him until the very last second comes off the clock one way or another. I just don't think they quite have enough to get over the hump. Ohio State, like y'all so eloquently said, and I mean, they have the best roster in college football. It's not even close. Just ask Nick Saban.
I was about to say, not only do we have thoughts on that, so does St. Nick. We'll talk about what he said today on the Pat McAfee Show and how this model of college football, it's just unsustainable. It's not fair, guys. We'll talk about that and what Saban had to say as we're off and running hour number two here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Rolling on here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins, got Uncle T-Bone, Christian Griffin in the studio as well. You can give us a call, 334-321-13. He visits with the every single week on ESPN. Shocker, I know. Had some things that wanted to get off his chest, guys. Just had to make sure the world knew what Professor Nick Saban thought about the world of college football. And I do want to start by saying, going into the college football season, when Nick Saban, it was announced that he was going to be a part of College Game, like the spec lived, it could be a really good addition. And I'll be the first to tell you, I think he was a great addition to College Game Day this year. I thought he was really, really good, and he was able to stay away from that stuff for the most part, right? Even when some called him out, like Shane Gillis, who really ruffled his feathers that time he was on there just a few weeks ago.
Nicky Poo likes to dish it out. He doesn't like to take it.
Well, he dished it out today when he visited with Pat McAfee. Quote, "The people out there need to know this model is unsustainable," talking about college football. Says, quote, "One school can't spend $30 million for players while another school is $1 million. He wants competitive balance in college football." He says, quote, "I need to know this model is unsustainable. It's not good for the players." Says players need to get compensated, no doubt, but it has to be done in a way where, in some kind of way, you have competitive balance and that every school has the same thing. One school can't spend $30 million for players while another school spends $3 million.
Instead, he wants one school to be able to spend $3 million and nobody else to be able to spend it.
Yeah, okay, Alabama Jones, that's not going to work. That's called, first of all, it's called capitalism. And second of all, tell me, Alabama, you're broke and your program may be sleeping on the street soon without telling me you're broke. I mean, let's just be real honest here. You're talking about a guy as one of the greatest of all time who was able to get talent however they could get it and just stack it up and it never leave, and him be in full control of said talent for basically their entire college career. If they did leave, not saying it happened, could say, well, you know, I got a lot of ties to NFL. Might want to stay. And you know, quit because he couldn't have a competitive advantage anymore. I mean, that's just like saying, well, you know what? Teams should only be able to put a certain amount of money into their facilities, and that's not sustainable that they're always able to add on to luxury suites to their stadium and have the greatest locker room and the greatest facilities and amenities for their football players, Christian. I mean, tell me you're just a sore bitterman who's making $500,000 a year off the University of Alabama when that money could be going to more players. Tell me you're just not washed out.
Let's get thoughts from the listeners. 334-321-1390. Ed, you're on the line. How are you, man?
Hey, guys, I'm doing good. It's good talking with you. I was just going to chime in about that.
Sure.
And just a couple of things. But as far as that, the first thing that Nick Saban told the University of Alabama was, and he told everybody, we are going to have the best facilities you know, what nothing fair about, you know, we won't have facilities that are comparable to anybody else. We are going to have the best. He turned around and he hired about, he found every way he could to hire every out of a job coach, you know, to come in and give him an advantage in that regard. You know, he's just such the hypocrite. And on top of that, you know, we all know that there was a lot of money spent in building the teams that Nick Saban had. I mean, that's
one way or another.
One
way
or the other. You know, families moving from Hawaii and people getting jobs.
Ed,
and stuff
what
like
are you
that.
Talking about? You would rather live in Alabaster, Alabama, than Hawaii?
Well, goodness gracious, you know, it's just the atmosphere, you know, the beach out there. That what is that? Blue water? It's an old quarry out there. I used to go scuba diving in and tell them. But no, I'm just kidding. But no, there is a place out there, good place to scuba dive. But I was just gonna, you know, I do get tired of that. But I was gonna ask you. Do you know, has Auburn, or I guess has any major school in the modern era ever gone into a season with no quarterback that was on the team for the past in the past year? No returning quarterback.
Gotcha. I got you asking. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there have been. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I bet it's more common now than it's ever been before. And you're referring, of course, Auburn losing everybody from that quarterback room, whether they graduated or they left through the transfer portal. I'm sure Auburn is not the only program like that. I'd have to do a little thinking and research on that going into 2025.
Yeah.
But no, that's going to become more common than it's ever been before.
Okay, and one more thing I was just going to ask you. I heard you on Doug's program, and it could go either way, but I think this has been a couple of weeks ago that y'all were talking about who would be on the biggest hot seat after a bad year from Auburn or Alabama. And, you know, I think at one time it was like if both teams lost four games, and I mean, I don't know about this. I know that Hugh Freeze has to produce this year, has to. But if both teams lost four games, which do you think that you really think? I'm just asking. I'm not arguing. Do you think that Hugh Freeze would be on a bigger hot seat with four losses than
than Kalen DeBoer
would?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, Ed, and we appreciate that. Appreciate the call. I don't think Hugh Freeze would be on as much of a hot seat as Kalen DeBoer at Alabama. If both Auburn and Alabama go with four losses in 2025, some would argue that's all Hugh Freeze has to do to save his job. Others in Tuscaloosa are saying, you lose four games again, see you later, buddy, you're out of here, we'll go find a new head coach. And again, Ed, thank you so much for the call. What do you guys think in terms of if Auburn and Alabama both lose four games in 2025, who's on the hotter seat, Hugh Freeze or Kalen DeBoer?
I think the answer is easily Kalen DeBoer. I think especially if you take any sort of emotion out of anything and it goes to, you don't look at who the teams beat and who the teams lost to. I think if you strictly looked at it after 12 games or after 13 games of a bowl game or whatever, if that's the case and both teams went 8-4 or even 9-4 at that point after bowl games, I think Kalen DeBoer would be much on the hotter seat than Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, if they lose four games up there in Tuscaloosa next year, I'm going to start buying stock in the Acme Brick Company, because they're going to be throwing bricks through windows like they did with Bill Curry.
Let's get to the phone lines quickly here, 334-321-1390. Dan in Auburn, you're on the line. I got about a minute or so for you. What's up?
Yeah, on the topic you're just talking about now, I think it's Kalen DeBoer, just because, you know, with everything that Alabama fans have gotten spoiled with, you know, Nick Saban barely losing one or two games rarely, and all of a sudden now you got a guy that's not even making the playoffs at all, and when it's a 12-team playoff, they would definitely be more upset. Auburn fans, I guess with what we've been through, you know, we win eight games. I personally want to win 9 or 10 this year minimum and make the playoffs, but eight games and everything's improving and we're still recruiting the same way, you know what, I could probably handle that for another year.
I think it depends on how those eight wins come too, right? That's the thing I've been saying. Yeah. I mean, those eight wins, one of those has to be against your biggest rivals. Has to be.
Yeah, I agree. And then one last thing, as far as replacing the whole quarterback room, from the last caller. Well, we just did the same thing to the receiver room this last year because, obviously, Harsin did such a terrible job recruiting. We needed to replace the whole entire room. So, you know what, if you're upgrading with newer guys that are much better, more talented, then heck, you know, it is what it is. You know, you got to get better. Thanks.
Sure. Appreciate the call.
Look at Alabama's schedule. Open up at Florida State. They will be improved. And that's Gus Malzahn running that offense now. And he's given Alabama some fits over the years with his goofy offense. Then they host ULM, who's no pushover. They'll beat them, but that'll be a tough matchup before Wisconsin comes to town. And then you go to Georgia. Oh, they could lose two games out of those first four out easily.
Hmm. The town would burn down.
The same Alabama team. They don't even have a starting quarterback for the first time in forever that they know of right now.
Because Carson Beck, when you were said no.
There's as much
boom
talent at Auburn in the top 44 two deep right now as at Alabama. They're coming back to the pack.
That shine has worn off that Alabama logo.
Well, and I'm having a problem with what Nick Saban's saying also because there's more parity in college football right now than there's ever been. Look at Vanderbilt beating both Auburn and Alabama this season. That hadn't happened in forever. They haven't beat Alabama since 1984. It's not just about the championship game. College football's as fair as it gets right now because of NIL and the transfer portal. I think that's what some people are struggling with more than anything.
Could be. It very well could be. And I think that's why big-name programs around college football and their fan bases, Alabama, Georgia. I mean, Georgia falling short is not cool with them this year. They're not happy about that. They're not happy that their quarterback just left to go to Miami
right.
because they paid him more money. They're not happy with that at all.
Listen to this schedule real quick before we go to break. At Florida State, ULM, Wisconsin, at Georgia, Vanderbilt, Missouri, Tennessee, South Carolina, LSU, Oklahoma. Then you get Eastern Illinois and Auburn. They could easily lose four games next year without a starting quarterback going into the season.
I don't think that schedule sounds too bad, though, to be honest with you.
I think it's pretty tough, man. South Carolina, Tennessee, Missouri, Vanderbilt in a four-game stretch.
Tell me you want Bama to lose. Now tell me you want Bama to lose.
I think they're going to. You better get prepared, Bama fan. Next year is going to be a rocky road.
We'll talk more about what Nick Saban had to say. Can college football keep it up, or is this just unsustainable? More on that, 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line. With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Packed house in the studio. Appreciate you being along with us on this holiday Monday. You can give us a call, 334-321-1390. We've had great phone calls so far today. Lots of text messages in the On the Line text box as well at 334-784-1067. And want to dive a little bit deeper into what Nick Saban had to say, where the current model of college football is unsustainable. He says, quote, "You can't have some teams spending $30 million on players and other teams only spending $3 million on players." And I know what he's getting at here. I know what he's insinuating. I know what he's trying to get at. Salary caps, right? Salary caps in college football. And for a long time, I've agreed with the idea. There's a reason pro sports have salary caps, right? They try to limit how much a team can spend on their roster to try and make it somewhat competitive, have some sort of fairness, some sort of balance, right? Baseball is broken and dumb because they're like, oh yeah, here's the salary cap, but you can go over it, it's fine. Just pay a little fee, pay a little tax, and you'll be okay. Well, guess what? The rich teams do it because they've got the money, and it doesn't matter. And we've said that forever, and that's why baseball is in the worst spot it's probably ever been in. But for college football, this is a brand new topic. This is something that's never been addressed before, something that's never had to be addressed before because all the payments were made illegally under the table. And so something does have to change. I get where Nick Saban's coming from. But it is ironic and funny that it's now that he's speaking up about how it's not fair that one team can spend so much and another team can spend another. Let's just call it like it is here, guys. Ohio State will always have more money than Minnesota. Alabama will always have more money than Vanderbilt. I don't know why there's an issue there. I guess I see it. They're upset and they do want it to be fair. But at the end of the day, like, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I get there should be a cap to some extent, but I see the other side of, well, who cares if we have more money? That's how the world works. You have more money, you typically are more successful.
Yeah, capitalism is about as fair as it gets in Uncle T's book. You know, I mean, there's always going to be more people that have more than others and less than others. You know, work with what you got to be the very best you can. And don't fault Auburn for getting its NIL rolling, and or any other school for that matter, that's willing to put that kind of resource into acquiring talent. Is it fair for Princeton to pay for the very best talent in professors? You know, in research? I mean, this capitalism is competition. And what it sounds like to me is you're trying to level the playing field just for you instead of for everybody. And I'll just put it to you like this. You either have complete lockdown with no money or you let it rip. Because I see more parity in college football than ever right now. The playoff has expanded. It gives every blue blood, especially a mulligan, look at Notre Dame. In the past, they wouldn't be in this game. They wouldn't have had the opportunity to be in the college football playoff. And, you know, it gives teams like Vanderbilt an opportunity to upset an Alabama or an Auburn when they're historically just woefully terrible against them. And, you know, they're going to expand the playoff a little bit more here in the future to give everyone a three-game opportunity, a mulligan pass to get to the college football playoff. So, I don't fault Ohio State for spending and get. I wish Auburn would have got that. I guarantee you there's not an Alabama fan out there right now who doesn't wish they had Ohio State's roster and were in this championship game right now. Do you think he'd be making that comment if Alabama was in the championship game right now?
Nope.
With that loaded roster like Ohio State?
There's no way.
Negative. He would not be.
Goes right back to what we talked about before the season even started when, I don't know if it was media days or right before the season when Kirby Smart was talking about it and saying that, you know, things are as frustrating as ever in college football just because of, you know, the fact that I can't have depth like I used to have anything because the kids that have talent are going to go play somewhere else and it evens out the entire playing field. You mentioned it to where it was in the mid-2010s and up to what felt like 2020 where there's three or four teams that have a legit chance for playing in the national championship, right? I mean, Kirby Smart and Nick Saban are two of the more outspoken people about situations like this, and you look at it, and it's because they're not one of the final two teams playing tonight.
I mean, the point is, if Alabama was in this game, he's not making those comments to McAfee tonight. Now, especially as an employee of Alabama, I mean, that man still paid $500,000 a year to go to work there, allegedly. He's out there looking for Alabama's interest within the influential circles of college football. I mean, it's a conflict of interest, but good for Alabama for trying to get one of the most powerful people in the history of the game to still have positive influence for them. That's smart. That's capitalism. You know, don't take a check from them anymore. Completely disband yourself from that program other than I used to be the greatest of all time there and be your own employee, an influential person, and maybe I take that a little bit more seriously. But he's still got an office inside Bryant-Denny Stadium. Okay, Nikki, whatever, Alabama Jones. I don't believe you. Shane Gillis doesn't believe you. And 95% of the people out there don't believe you.
But doesn't capitalism have a rule, a guideline, right? There are limitations to that. And the thing I was saying about baseball, the reason it's so bad is because you have an organization like the Dodgers who just have piles and piles of money that they're pulling out of the ocean out there. And They're just buying their way to championships, and it's ruining the sport. So I totally understand.
In your opinion, but not Dodger fans' opinion.
True.
So capitalism does have rules, and they are mainly on the side of, did you defraud somebody? Did you cause environmental damage to this earth as some big oil company disregarding EPA regulations or something to make a buck? You know, were you fraudulent in selling stocks illegally that didn't exist to make a buck? What has any team in college football done right now to defraud the other teams? What has Ohio State or Notre Dame, Ohio State especially, for going out and getting the best roster they could possibly afford? They haven't defrauded anybody.
As long as they've done it legally.
They have, yeah, as long as they've done it according to whatever rules are left.
But we're not convinced that they have, right? We're not convinced that all these teams have just magically followed the rules, right? There's no way.
There's probably as much under the money table as there's ever been in college football.
I agree.
So, you know,
it has to be honed in somehow. There has to be something to where it's not just
the first step that has to happen for anything to improve under this is for basically somehow, some way NCAA big time football to break away into its standalone league that isn't under the guidance of a non-for-profit NCAA, which is to say it's non-for-profit, it's a joke. And I don't know what that entails legally, and I don't know how it all goes down. I'm sure there's some purists out there that have all the answers. The truth is there is no perfect answer. But the conversation is more than anything, Nick Saban that started this whole thing, and can you really trust as an employee still of the University of Alabama that he has the best interest for all of college football, but not his university who's paying him? Because if I'm being paid by somebody, I should be loyal to them.
You don't have anything? Oh, okay. My bad. I thought you had something to...
Mic drop!
I thought Christian had something to add to that. Well, you had something else then. We'll transition out of this. Your thoughts. You had something you wanted to discuss.
Oh, I was just going to talk. I mean, it's a little bit of a different topic. I mean, I agree with everything that he's talking about. I think that it does come down to, rather than just the money, there's a lot of things that other... When you look at the MLB, the market plays a big value in everything with fan bases, media rights, the inequality with revenue. So I don't feel like there's any way to completely even out college football or whatever that the fact that it may be. Regarding the topic, again, kind of just a subtle transition is when you're playing in the conference championship games. This is something that we've talked about for the entire length of the season, how you're going to slowly start to see those become less and less important. When you're looking at the ACC, as of yesterday, they have talked about their conference championship or their conference champion not playing in the conference championship. They have talked about it becoming a team or a game between the second and the third place teams rather than the championship team itself. And they said they've also talked about the possibility of having the four teams play basically a four-game, one plays four, three plays two, to decide the winner of the ACC championship. And I think that's kind of funny just because that's something we've talked about all year, because if you come to the point like SMU, where if SMU were to lose that game to Clemson, they wouldn't have been in the conference, or they wouldn't have been in the playoff. And so now you're seeing it
to
where
ask you something.
Teams have started making that understanding.
Do you think that people around the country cried and whined and especially teams like Washington State and Oregon State that got left at the altar? I mean, do you think that when the SEC expanded and took Arkansas and South Carolina, people were like, system's broken. Rich keep getting richer. This is unsustainable. I'm going to argue that college football, no matter what happens and what direction it goes in, was here long before I was here, and it'll be long before after I and Nick Saban are gone from this earth. To say that it's unsustainable, all he's saying, yeah, it's unsustainable for the organization I represent.
Yes.
It's not going anywhere. I mean, college football is not going to just break and combust and internally blow up on itself. I mean, that's not going to happen.
He's selling fear.
Something will happen, though. I think he is on to something where he says there will be a situation that will force somebody, something, someone, some group to step aside, step away, step back and say, okay, this cannot happen anymore. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's you have a player who officially makes more money than their head coach. I don't know if it's there is a scandal, right, of players making more under the table and it's finally brought to light. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I do believe that there will be an event that happens that makes something change. And that could be the SEC and the Big Ten.
Breaking the bar.
Yeah, yeah. Telling them to tell the NCAA to kick rocks.
Part of what I see in capitalism, too. If groups of people get together and form their own league and set rules and teams go to it and decide they want to play by those rules, it doesn't mean you have to go to that league. You can form your own league. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to play by the rules right now that are or the non-rules that are in college football if you don't want to. If Alabama and Nick Saban don't like it, take your ball and go home and start something different. If you don't like what's said on this radio show, you make that $5 million investment into a radio tower and radio station.
Good luck.
You know? I mean, so he's acting like, well, we've hit the iceberg, and if we don't do something, the ship's going down.
That's,
college
yeah.
football has survived people dying from no helmets in the early days. I mean, wars,
scandals,
to depressions, to scandals, to conferences coming and going, to teams breaking up from conferences and going to other ones. I mean, to expansion, to AP and UPI. I mean, it's always survived, and it's probably as popular as it's ever been, you know, and making as much money as it's ever been. That sounds sustainable to me. So it's going to continue one way or another, whether Nick Saban likes the direction it's going or not. Suck it up, man. Adapt and overcome.
We just need to remind ourselves and remind everybody on why do you play college football? Why do you play baseball? Why do you play hockey? Why do you play professional basketball? Why do they play these games, people? To make a dollar. To make money. Is college football still making money? Yeah, it's making a lot. ESPN's doing just fine, I think. I have a good feeling they're doing okay between their shows and their games. I think Fox is doing okay. CBS is probably hurting, but they're still making money. And if that's still the case, nothing is going to go anywhere. Will it change? Yeah, probably. Change is inevitable. But it's not going to go anywhere. And you're right. Nick Saban and people like him, he's not the only one, but people like him are selling fear. They're trying to convince you that college football is in risk of disappearing.
Right.
And that's not the
case.
If
you don't do it our way and trust us and believe us, you're never going to have the game that you once did. They lost me, and I get emotionally fired up about this, when those coaches making millions of dollars a year ran up to Washington, D.C. to moan to the federal government to fix a industry where they're making millions of dollars a year, and the players at that time were kind of just constricted on what they could do and how much they can make. And to stop it, you ran up to the swamp, man, to fix your problems. That's the last place I'd turn to.
A lot of controversy, a lot of quotes, lots of thoughts and opinions about everything in college football, and a great conversation here on the Monday edition of On the Line. We'll come back and wrap it up here on ESPN 106.7.
War Eagle, this is Coach Bruce Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been a great show today. We've talked a lot. We've covered a lot of topics on this show. It kind of felt like a Friday, did it not? We hit just a bunch of college basketball. We hit NFL playoffs, national championship game, how we're going to fix the state of college football, and you can elect us as the new commissioner. I mean, there's all sorts of things we covered on the show. And so if you missed any of it, you can go and listen to the podcast version of the show. We'll have it up for you on our station website in just a little bit, and your various podcasting platforms at ESPNAU.com. And Tonight, the national championship game. We gave our picks a little bit earlier. We're going to circle back and do that again here really quickly. You can catch the radio broadcast, the ESPN radio broadcast of the national championship game between Ohio State and Notre Dame right here on ESPN 106.7. Buckeyes favored by 8.5 to 9, depending on where you look and what book you're on. So, Uncle T, your final thoughts on the national championship game, the final game of the college football season.
Well, I think Ohio State pulls it out late. Some type of defensive play led by Captain Jack Sawyer. That guy's a beast and a dog. Really impressed with what Notre Dame's done this season and very impressed with their head coach. Ohio State is just way more talented. Jeremiah Smith is very good. I thought Texas did a great job at limiting him, though, but still it wasn't enough. And I like that 8.5 points, but I like Ohio State to win the game 31-24.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'll take Notre Dame to cover that 9-point line. Again, it dropped down to 7.5 before jumping back up to 9 either a day ago or as we look at it right now. I think Notre Dame will do a good job in the first half of controlling the clock and almost making it feel like Ohio State has to capitalize on this possession because they know they might not get the ball back for 6 or 7 minutes if they don't score on this drive. But I think one mistake by Notre Dame could easily flip the switch in the second half, and Ohio State's just going to ultimately have a little bit too much that Notre Dame is able to handle, especially throwing the football. I think Riley Leonard plays a really, really good football game. I think he'll be able to run for some yards and, again, continue to eat up the clock. I think I'll go back to what I said in the beginning, where if you looked at it 15 years ago and you looked at the time of possession, you would have think that Notre Dame, you would have thunk that Notre Dame absolutely ran away with this football game. But instead, the team that doesn't have the ball for as long but creates more explosive plays, that'll be the Ohio State Buckeyes. They'll win it late. I like that line. I'll go a little bit lower. I'll go 28-21. Buckeyes win it.
Ohio State has outscored. They're winning in the college football playoffs in their first three games. They're winning by an average of 20 points, which is absurd to think about.
Isn't there a crazy stat, too, of like the last 4 or 5 playoff games, the margin of victory is like 30-something points?
For Ohio State?
Just in general? The championship games.
Yeah, probably. Well, yeah, I mean, think about, was it?
Georgia, TCU.
Was that last year or 2 years ago?
That was 2 years ago.
Yeah, Michigan won last year, yeah. Look, Ohio State has dominated their entire way through. Notre Dame has played well, but they've had to fight for every single game they've been in. I just think Ohio State's too good offensively. I think Jeremiah Smith is him. I think they will get away from him, too, and have several other weapons. Will Howard will play good enough. He's not great. He's no world beater, but he'll play good enough to win. I think the defense gets after Riley Leonard. I think they force too many turnovers, does Ohio State, and I think they win this thing going away. I'll take the Buckeyes 34-16. We'll do some kind of
weird
score.
Well, that's just because you're such a big
16.
Ohio State fan.
Yeah, yeah. Only when I'm not cheering for Penn State or Michigan.
Real quick, I said I'd give a weather update. Winter storm warning in effect, Lee County. It says fitweather.com what to expect. Heavy snow expected, Jacob, up to 2 inches.
Heavy snow,
But watch the roads and especially the bridges and overpasses. Going to be slick and hazardous out there. Slippery road conditions for sure through tomorrow night. So from Uncle T-Bone to you, keep an eye on the weather, folks. Bring those dogs and plants in.
Just for a comedic relief on the way out, I'm not going to play it, but did you guys see what today being the presidential inauguration that every TV channel in America is covering this event today? Because it is an historic event. No matter who you voted for, this is not a political thing, but it is a big day in America. C-SPAN was having their coverage and did a call-in show for the presidential inauguration, and an Alabama fan called in and said it's truly dark times in America because Alabama was left out of the college football playoff. That's pretty good.
Was that Nick Saban Jr.?
Yes, he got a grandson.
I mean, that is hilarious. 3 games, not going to get you in 12. But, hey, if they expand it to 16, better luck next time.
Hey, all right, enjoy the college football national championship game. We'll have it for you right here on ESPN 106.7. Back tomorrow, 2 to 4 on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. For Uncle T-Bone and Christian Griffin, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe, stay warm. We plan on being here tomorrow, but just in case the weather does get crazy for whatever reason, could be Wednesday, but for right now, we do be planning on being here tomorrow, same time, same place, so be sure that you come back. All right, stay safe. I'll talk to you later.